Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm your host for today's show. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I am tickled that you have set your dials to 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. And joining me today for Faith in Action. I hope it's a great day for you. It's a great day for us here in the studio. So joining me today in the studio is an individual who is associated with law enforcement. I welcome Trooper Karen Yaniff, although I'll probably call you Carrie every once in a while. And please do not ask me to drop and give you 50, because I don't think I can do that anymore.
I think we'll be all right on that.
Okay. So thanks so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, Carrie, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I was born and raised in Sioux City. I've been a lifelong member here. Graduated from Immaculate Conception grade school. And then I graduated from Helan in 94. And was pretty active in sports back then. I was in through Helan. Got a college scholarship for softball through Briarcliff College. And I graduated from college in 99. And stayed active through the community through that way too. And then July of 1999, I was a correctional officer for Woodbury County Jail. And then I was hired about 14 months later from Sergeant Bluff Police Department. I was there for about 6 months. And then the same day that they sent me to the academy was the same day that I started with the patrol. And 20 weeks later, I graduated from that academy. So I've been with the State Patrol since 2001.
So it's interesting, when we were off air, you told me that your degree is in criminal justice from BCU. And I wondered why criminal justice instead of sociology or English or any other kind of discipline you might be interested in going into.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually was originally going to college for social work.
Okay.
And so I kind of started out with that, and I just don't know if just the classes just weren't speaking out to me or anything like that. Sometimes that happens. So I had some close friends that were into law enforcement or tied into that. So they had mentioned, says, why don't you try to test and for one of the local police departments. So and also with our family is kind of around the criminal justice area. My grandfather, Paul Yaniff, was a lifelong attorney here in town for the longest time. My aunt is a probation officer here in town, and my uncle is an attorney. And my brother is a Sioux City officer. So we just kind of have that family knack, I guess, just being around the criminal justice system. So we actually have a cousin, I forgot him, Nick. He is a law enforcement officer up in Northeast Iowa. So we kind of just, I think it just had a knack just to be that way. So I got a sister that works for a Department of Corrections in Eastern Iowa. So I think we just kind of been kind of continuing on with our grandfather's footsteps, I guess. So,
yeah, interesting. Of course, again, when we were off air, we were talking about the small world connections. You graduated in 94. My son Brian graduated in 95 from Helan. And then I think you have a sister that's somewhere in between.
Yes.
Brian, and then Alex graduated in 97, and then Eric in 99. So it is such a small world, and it's so much fun to hear these connections. When you think about going to Helan, what would you say that that school provided you with the foundation for being a successful, productive citizen at this point in your life, which I assume you are?
I would like to think so. I'm sure probably some of those teachers back then probably didn't see me, that they thought they were going to be a police officer, let alone a state trooper. So I'm sure I know that my college advisor, she was pretty shocked when she saw me in the state trooper deal. So I don't think they kind of had that dream for me that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice. But, you know, growing up, you know, to Helan, I like their foundation. My son is in the parochial school here in town, too. So I wanted him to experience what I have had through the Catholic education. So I think it's very important. I could just tell in his first year as a first grader of a difference that he has made in just manners, you know, opening up the doors, just how he conducts himself in public, compared to other kids. And it's not just anywhere. I mean, it's just in general. So Helan, you know, they're very strong academically. They're, you know, good at sports. You know, just the foundation, just it's a close-knit family. And that's what I like about Helan. They represent pretty well just in that, and it's everyone knows us, and that's a good thing. So,
yeah, very much so. And then you mentioned your extended family and how they're kind of in, if not in law enforcement, associated fields. But you could have gone perhaps into being a lawyer or the, you know, Sioux City Police Department, or we could have seen you perhaps in forensics, you know, at another, yes. I mean, with a degree in criminal justice, you really kind of positioned yourself for going almost anywhere. So why the police instead of like the FBI or something else?
Well, I actually looked at the FBI at one time, but I had just graduated from college, but they needed 2 years of experience as a local law enforcement or anywhere first before they would take you. So that's when I kind of looked at the State Patrol. And here I am 20 years later. So I enjoy what I do there. It's always something different. It isn't just your routine traffic stops. And it's something different. You might be having a therapy session with somebody because they're having a bad day that day. Or you might be in a yelling match because that person is having a bad day just because they want to take it out on you. So I feel like we're trying to educate them and all kinds of positive ways that are out there, just not because they're driving too fast or they're impaired. It's just there's other things just to writing a citation.
Okay, so as a trooper, what is your job like? Because I think so many of us watch TV, and, you know, there was the old television show about the State Patrol. You know, what kinds of things are you empowered to do? Do you like work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or do you work other hours, or how does that work?
So with the State Patrol, when we first started, well, it still is this way that you work 2 weeks a day shift, which is like a six in the morning till 3 in the afternoon or 7 in the morning till 4. It just depends on the situation. And you work 5 days in a row and then you have 3 days off. So you work 2 weeks a days of that. And then you go right into our night shift and you work that for 2 weeks. So you would work either 3 to midnight, 4 to 1, somewhere in there, and you work 5 on, 3 off. So you rotate that every 2 weeks. So probably up until be 2 years this December, my son moved in with me when I was in the process of adopting him, I went to the midnight shift. And I did that for about a year and a half. And it benefited him more than it did me because I didn't want him to think every 2 weeks, okay, who's picking me up from school or sure. anything like that. I want that stability. So I actually enjoyed the midnight shift quite a bit. It was very beneficial. But I think now with this new position that I have here as a public resource officer, I'm working actually Monday through Friday with holidays and weekends off. So okay. provided there's going to be some days I do have to work holidays, just, you know, during, you know, certain things, but it's more stable now.
Okay. So are you out on the streets then, or are you more in office?
Well, if I'm not instructing any classes or anything like that, or meeting with the media or anything like that, then yes, I am doing traffic enforcement.
Okay. Do you have a certain area that you patrol? Now, pay attention, listeners, because that's when you really want to drive well.
Yes. Our district has 6 counties in our district, so our office is based out of Cherokee. So we have Plymouth County, Woodbury, Cherokee, Ida, Beebe, and Sac. So I would say probably 90% of my work is in with Woodbury and Plymouth. I try to get to the eastern side of the counties, but usually I get pulled back here quite a bit.
So. Sure. Because really that's where our population is.
Yes. I think Sioux City is the fourth largest, you know, in the state. So Sioux City is pretty busy.
Okay. And, of course, we have listeners in the tri-state area, so in South Dakota and Nebraska. And so have you ever done a high-speed chase into South Dakota or Nebraska?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have. Yes, I just had one on the midnight shift during the winter where we went into South. We started, it was actually in Sioux City, went onto the bypass, like by Sunnybrook, you know, by the mall. And I tried to get it to veer northbound on I-29 or just hit the interstate. And I could tell that he was going to go into South or into Nebraska. So he went in through South Sioux, and then we came back into Iowa over the bridge. And we ended up getting him a little bit just shortly after that. So South Dakota, I'd have to think about that for a moment, but I've been a few pursuits in my career, yes.
Okay, because so. I wondered, you know, how the jurisdiction works then, you know, once they cross into another state, then do you radio out and ask for the patrols from those other states, or do you just continue, you know, whatever it is you're doing at the moment?
Nebraska has, let's just say, a little bit more rules compared to, it has to be pretty much a felony in order for us to get across that state to continue that. Otherwise, we have to terminate the pursuit at that time. Mm-hmm. South Dakota doesn't have too many quirks, you know, to that deal. So we try to keep it within Iowa. It makes it a little bit easier that way for charges and anything else. So that way you're not trying to bring that person back to this, you know, across the state lines. So,
Yeah, so it sounds like you probably have a good relationship with the individuals in the tri-state area.
Absolutely. Yes, we do. Yes. And if there is a pursuit, like you just asked the question, usually we'll call ahead and let the other dispatchers know across the state saying, hey, we're coming your way. We'll need some extra help.
Okay. And usually a pursuit means that you have somehow turned on your flashers or your...
The lights and sirens.
The lights and sirens, and the person is not pulling over for some odd reason.
Right.
And so then... You kind of have to go after them.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of discussion on whether or not that's effective or not, because people worry about, you know, that the person kind of gets out of control and then crosses the median and runs into somebody. But it would seem to me that there would be situations in which it would be prudent to do that.
Yes. I mean, there's going to be times where, yes, pursuits are terminated just because due to the safety of the motoring public. There's going to be some times that we don't predict of how that person is going to drive, and you're trying to end that pursuit as quickly as possible so that way it doesn't endanger anybody's lives at all. So there's obviously a reason why they're running, you know, type of thing. So there must be in their mind there's a particular reason why they're doing that. So as a pursuing officer, the one thing you want to remember is not just our safety and the person that you're pursuing, it's everybody around you is, you know, the stoplights, the stop signs, your highways, you know, given the area, you're putting all that to an effect in a short amount of time to make sure that everybody is safe and we can get through the, you know, the pursuit if it continues that way. So
when you are working in the classroom with instructing other officers about things, what typically are they concerned about?
Well, if I'm instructing other officers, I just got done teaching at the academy on just this past Wednesday because we're our third weekend training these new troopers, and I'm teaching the motor vehicle law, so we're trying to teach them, I shouldn't say try, we are teaching them, where to know the traffic enforcement laws. Okay, this is the roadway, this is, you know, what is considered the roadway. Just basic terminology, so that way when they know what the traffic, you know, enforcement is, it's just not knowing a code section, you need to understand what does that code mean. What are the meat and potatoes of that? So that when it comes to the enforcement, that's what the State Patrol, one of the areas that we specialize is in the traffic. So if we don't understand it, then we can't help educate the motoring public on making sure that they understand things.
Okay.
So, but for other teaching, based off some of my specialties that I have, it'd be just mostly what I do quite a bit is like the impaired driving part of it. So you're trying to teach other officers to either fine-tune some of their skills, you know, to make sure that they're more efficient on some things.
So. Okay. And so, listeners, I hope you have gained some information about law enforcement and the trooper situation here in the tri-state area. But as you know, we always have to take a break. And this would be a good time to take a break so we could give a shout-out to our underwriters and do some public service announcements. But guess what? We're going to look at the Labor Day weekend that's coming up with Trooper Carrie Yaniff, and when we come back, you're going to learn a lot more about that, so stay tuned.